Blog Talk Radio.
By the power given to me, and through the light that lives deep inside me, and in the nature of those who've made all things, I am. From sunlight I will create my armor. The sun will be of the moon will change me. And when I emerge, only earth will be my witness that I am. I will find my success. I'll bring to light what was once in darkness. And when father sings, and when mother raises her hand, I am. And in my mind, I will know victory. In my heart, I will know peace. In my life, I will know destiny. And my soul is a shining sword.
And welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show with Chris / Mottman and Shelly Alejandro. And that was I Am by the Pisces Project.
Hello, everyone. How's it going? I'm here. Hanging in here, how's it going? I hope everybody's having a lovely Thursday. And finally, I hear that the rain has subsided somewhat in your area.
Yes, it has. It's actually getting a little bit chillier. We're supposed to be having a frost tonight here in the Merrimack Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like in the 30s, I believe, or something like that. I don't know if we're going to be in a frost advisory, but I know there's something within this area. But yes, the rain has subsided, and we had a nice day this afternoon or today.
So in that case, I hope you guys got to enjoy the day, and it's not too bad. I mean, and if you have any veggies that's still out there, you better go and hide them, protect them so they don't freeze to death, because the advisory of the frost is coming. You can feel the chill in the air. And, definitely winter's coming. I'm still in Philadelphia, so it's not as bad. It was a little chilly today, but it wasn't as bad. And it was quite an enjoyable day, I must say so. Welcome, everyone. Just to remind you, you are on Blog Talk Radio, Ordinary Woman, Diamond in the Rough with Mountain Man and Charlie Alejandro, Ordinary Woman. So glad that you guys could join us. We have an amazing show for you guys today. We have the amazing Alan Schatz, which is the writer of the Deadball baseball series books, mystery novels, which I read the first one. Phenomenal. Cannot wait to read the second and third one. And Deadball is actually out in print now. It's like you can actually get the book. It's not just an e-book anymore. So you will definitely, definitely got to check that out. He'll be on later on in the show. The second hour, we got a big surprise. As usual, the very popular Ahura Z will be on. So if you're listening and you have questions for either of them, more than welcome to call. We actually have the 800 number up again. So guests, if you want to make a call and it's a toll call for you, feel more than welcome to use the 800 number, 877-907-7217. Just make sure you check that your cell phone carrier doesn't charge you for that. I know some do, some don't. If you're calling from a landline at your house, it's totally toll-free, so you can use that as well. Guest regular call-in line for our guests, 347-989-1473. So those are the two numbers that you can call us at. Also, iTunes, you can check us out as well as a podcast. And if you're on an Android or an iPhone, go on down to Blog Talk Radio, download the app for the mobile phone, and you can listen to us that way as well. www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywomanWMN. Yes, so that was all our housework for that as far as how to get a hold of us. So he laughs. How dare you laugh at me? I thought I did
pretty good.
Yes, so once again, it's Thoughtful Thursday, and I have to say that, I don't know, there's been a lot of thoughtful things going on in my life, not just for me, but for some of my family members. So one of the things that I want to share with you is the fact that, as everybody probably knows, unless you're under a rock, I'm the head of Apple Computer passed away yesterday, Steve Jobs. He passed away at the age of 56. And I know some people might say, oh, you know, what's the big deal with this guy dying? So what? The thing is, Steve Jobs, not only was he an innovator, he reinvented the computer. He didn't invent it himself. He didn't invent the pod, you know, the MP3 player. He didn't invent any of this technology. But he reinvented it in a way that it's user-friendly and changed the way we do things. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't be listening to me right now if it wasn't for some of Steven and Apple Inc.'s technology. That's just a fact of life. They're the ones that perfected this technology. And I hate to say it, and it's a fact of life, all the Windows technology has basically just been copied off of Apple. Every time Apple comes up with some new technology, Windows tweaks it and tries to reformat it. And I don't know, I'm a hardcore Apple person because I've worked with both. And I guess PCs are great if you're a number cruncher or for stats and stuff. It's terrific. I personally, more of the creative side or like doing my show, absolutely Apple hand down. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because, okay, we know him as this innovator. He basically changed the way things are done. He changed the quality of the computer itself. The reality is once you've owned an Apple product, you look at other products suspect because they use the best metals, they use hard glass, they use, you know, technology, they tweak it, and their customer service is hand down one of the best. You can't walk into an Apple store and not get satisfaction because they go out of their way for it. With all that said, if you haven't, go on the internet and Google Steve Jobs' commencement speech at Stanford University in 2005. That is by far one of the most motivational speeches that I have heard in a long time. He made this commencement speech, and it's so prophetic to listen to it now because what he talks about, and just to give you a little blurb on it, he tells us a little bit about his background. Some of you might know or might not know, Steve Jobs was actually adopted. His mother was a graduate student when she got pregnant, and she decided that in order to give him a better way of life, because of where she was in her life, she put him up for adoption. But the funny thing is, this gets me every time, she's the mom giving the kid up, because she's, whatever, has things going on in her life and decides she doesn't or can't raise him. Yet she had to speculate this specification that his adoptive parents had to be college graduates. So she had set up for an attorney and his wife to adopt her child. Well, lo and behold, when he was born, he was a boy, not a girl. They didn't want a boy, so he didn't get adopted by these people. He actually wind up getting adopted. This other couple got a call in the middle of the night saying, hey, we got a baby, you want one? Absolutely, they adopted him. Well, what wind up happening is the mother found out that the father never graduated. No, I'm sorry. The mother never graduated from college. The father didn't even graduate from high school. So she actually fought them on the adoption. She's like, no, that's not what I wanted. And finally, after a few months of going back and forth, she relented only because the parents said, okay, we will positively make sure that he goes to college. So that gives you a background of where he came from. And Steve talks about the fact that he did start going to college when he was 17 years old. And it took him a while to realize that here he is sitting there. He's like, you know, the reality is I'm here. He's like, and I am using up every penny that my parents have in their life. He's like, every penny that they had saved during their whole life, I'm using it to go to college. He's like, and it dawned on me that after a few months, it wasn't for me. Not going to school that wasn't for him, the classes that he was taking, because he felt stifled by the fact that they were telling him what classes he could or could not take. So he actually wind up dropping out of college. This is funny how he says it. He's like, I dropped out of college, but then I started dropping in. And what he did is he actually continued to take classes, but because he was no longer in a particular program, he could take any class he wanted. And one of the classes that he took was calligraphy. Go figure. The school he was going to at the time was well-renowned for calligraphy classes, which is, you know, a very fancy way of writing. And he said everything in the school was written in calligraphy. That set up the groundwork for him for when he perfected the Apple product, the computer, to have the different fonts and to be able to be creative. If you guys have used a Mac, the first ones that came out, they had that. They were very creative. You could do a lot of things with them, and the font was one of the things that up to that point didn't exist. So just to give you a gist, and he said one of the things he keeps saying is, like, you need to not get stuck in the dogma of other people's thinking. So he's like, you need to live your life for you on your terms. He's like, because otherwise, he's like, if every morning you get up, and you ask yourself, if this was my last day on earth, is this what I would want to be doing? He's like, and if you say no for a few days, then you need to change what you're doing. So, guys, definitely Google it, because I'm not doing it justice, and listen to this commencement speech. I'll tell you, it's one of the most motivating speeches that I've heard in a long time. And whether we like it or not, and whether we think it's superficial, Steve definitely changed the way we do technology and brought technology to the common person like myself. Mm-hmm. You guys know 10, 20 years ago, I would have literally had to jump through hoops or come up with a lot of money and a lot of training, so-called formal training, to be able to have my own radio show. And this is something that now, because of the technology that comes to the common man, it's easier. It's user-friendly, and we're able to do it. So for Thoughtful Tuesday, I recommend you listen to his commencement speech and keep in mind, we have to do our life. Don't live someone else's life, because you're going to be miserable. You need to have a truthfulness to yourself and live life on your terms. And the reality is that the people that care about you will support you. And if they don't, then maybe those aren't people you want to have in your life, because at the end of the day, you have to be true to you and no one else. So that's my thoughts for Thoughtful Tuesday. Thoughtful Thursday. And my man, I have to ask you, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Fighting up the yin-yang to try to get a chair fixed.
You're so funny.
Well, my power chair went down.
Yes, I remember you telling me that.
Well, it was going on the fritz, so they took a Tuesday to get new tires on. And it was supposed to come back today, but they found another problem with it, so they're keeping it till tomorrow. Hopefully they can put the tires on it or something, or get it back to me by tomorrow. And I don't know. I'm hoping I'll have the chair by at least Wednesday, so I can go to Boston on Wednesday.
What are you going to go up there for?
I'm actually going to see the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. You know, I have not been to the circus in, like, no, all right, correction. I have not been to the Ringling Brothers in Barnum & Bailey Circus. But I have to tell you, a little plug out, I do not work for them. Last year, my daughter-in-law, Sarah, and I got to go to this amazing circus here in Philly. It's called I can't remember the correct name of it, but thank you. It's the Soul Train. I just had a voice in the back of the room go, the Soul Train. We went to see the Soul Circus. It was freaking amazing. Like, they had, it was the first circus that was actually owned and operated by African Americans. It was started in the 60s and it traveled. And as a matter of fact, the Harlem Globetrotters were one of their original acts back a million years ago. So we went to see it.
I
want to
see them.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. You should see some of the acts. Like, they have a basketball team still, which is part of the group, and they're the ones that warm up the crowd at the beginning. Well, they're on unicycles. Yeah, well, no, wait, I'm not done. It gets better. They're on unicycles, like different size unicycles. And then they're doing backflips on the unicycles, off trampolines, and off high wires as they're dunking the balls. And they're all going in. Like, they did not miss one single basketball the whole time. Like, at first we kind of thought that it might be a little too much for my grandson, Eric Tiki, because he was only two at the time. And it was funny because he loved it. As soon as he saw the basketballs, he loved it. And he was like, the funny thing is the next day, he's like, oh, let me see if I can do this off the couch, giving his dad a heart attack. But it was such an amazing show. And the thing that was cool about it was, like, it was old school because of the fact that they actually put a tent up and you have to walk through the sawdust and they had the bleachers like they did back in the day. So it was really cool. I was like a little kid. I was so excited.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I was like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. So I hope you enjoy it because I love the circus. I really do.
Well, see, I try to go every year.
Mm-hmm.
When they come to Boston, and that's one of my yearly goals in life is to at least try to go to see these guys, because I've seen them several times throughout my life, and I love seeing this particular circus because they actually do an amazing job. They just absolutely blow my mind. I mean, I was there when they still have the Tiger Act, but I was there when, I can't think of his name, the great tiger trainer there. I can't think of his name.
You know, you're funny. I can see his face, but I just blanked out on his name. Oh, that's awful.
Exactly.
But I know what you're talking about.
I'm doing the same thing.
I still love him. He was so freaking good. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I don't exactly get brownie points for being a responsible parent, but I would purposely book the tickets. I would get the tickets for the last day that the circus was here, which was usually on a Sunday night, and obviously Monday was a school night, and I take the kids because if you wait outside, they actually bring the animals to bring them to the trains to leave.
Really?
And that's what so if you go the last day, you stand outside the garden, and they bring the elephants out the back, and you can see them walk down the street. There's a police detail and everything, and it was, like I said, I didn't win for responsible parent, because actually my kids either would wind up, I would let them sleep in a little the next day, or a couple times they didn't even go to school because they were so young, and I felt bad that they were up so late, because obviously, you know, the circus gets out late and stuff, but it was just an amazing experience to see them, like, you know, trunk to tail. Way cool.
Yeah.
Way cool. I just loved it.
I may go in that day just to see that, but I'm telling you.
It's so worth it. And you get to take the pictures and everything.
Yeah. I'm actually going the first Wednesday when they open up. The first show, I think it is, or I don't know. I know they come in a day or two early to set up and all of that and practice because it's the garden, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten so many different names. It's like And
it's the Garden. I'm sorry. I'm from Boston. It will always be the Garden to me. I don't care if they call it fiddle faddle. It's still going to be the Garden. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just everybody's known it, and I'm glad they. That's right. You know, and that's just the fact that they had the. I'm glad they had the presence of mind to give it that name. Again.
Yeah.
Because
I'm
that's
glad
what
they
it's
did,
always
so.
Going to be. All right. I think, Mountain Man, will you do me a favor? Will you play a song? Because I'm having a little challenge seeing my chat room, and I'm going to have to refresh it, so you will do me a favor. And
yeah, I had to refresh it on this end while you were talking. So I think you're
going to
have to
be kind enough to do that. We'll listen to a song, and then I can refresh the page on my side, and then we'll go on from there. So pick a good one, and let us know what it is.
We are going to hear... Legendary by the famous Cardiac and
Crew. Yeah, that's everybody. Yeah, that's Sacrifice, Situ, and Mischief.
Yes, yeah, so we'll hear that one.
Awesome, thanks.
Corporate, we saw your witness in a legend in
was Legendary by Sacrifice, Cardiac, Tissue, and Miss Jess. And we're back. So, Mountain Man, what do you got for me?
Mountain Man's got just you and I right now.
And okay, sounds like a deal. I'm all alone and I ain't got nobody.
I ain't got nobody.
Hey, listen. I'm listening. Okay, no, listen. One of the things that I've been wanting to let people know, to remind them, Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, do not miss Stephen Nicander, Sir Drop-A-Lot, with his show Big Dreams Radio, for your enjoyment. And not just that, for your information. He's got some great guests. Give you information on maintaining a healthy lifestyle, maintaining weight loss, if that's what you want to do, or the fact that if you're trying to lose weight as well, and to do it in a healthy alternative way. The other cool thing about the show is that it covers the topic of what happens after we lose weight. Because the reality is everybody talks about the process of losing weight. Everybody talks about the process of what happens when people don't lose weight, you know, the health issues and stuff. But no, not too many people talk about what happens after we've lost the weight. Because, you know, we hear these stories where people lose a lot of weight, gain it, blah, 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 back and forth, the yo-yo dieting, which is more harmful than actually being a few pounds overweight. And people don't realize that at times you can lose weight. You will lose weight physically.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a metaphor where you don't lose weight psychologically. And that's where it's a challenge for people, including women in particular, have that challenge because of the fact that their perception is misconstrued. So you could have a woman that has lost 50, 60 pounds, is probably a size 4 or 5 or a 6, but when she looks in the mirror, she still sees the overweight person, the frumpy person, the unhealthy person, and it just takes them a while to be able to adjust, and sometimes they don't, which is why they wind up happening where psychologically they sabotage themselves and gain the weight again. So those are some of the issues that they cover. And, yeah, it's a great way to get some information, meet like-minded people, and be able to get on track when it comes to your health and just living a better lifestyle. So make sure you join him all. Yes.
And it is an amazing show. I've listened to it the last several weeks, and he is just a phenomenal person. And I would encourage everyone to really go on Wednesday night, tune in on Wednesday nights like you would normally tune in for our show. On Thursdays, I would really encourage you guys to tune in on Wednesdays and listen to his show because it is just a phenomenal show. And it's been an awesome time.
Yeah, the other thing, too, to let you guys know, we will actually be expanding again. We're growing. We're moving.
We're growing.
Yes, we are. We're also going to be expanding, for those of you tonight, that's why we're having a Horizy. We will actually be starting a Tuesday night segment, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be called Ask the Unicorn. And that will be actually Ahura Z will be doing the show. I will be co-hosting, but he'll be doing the show as well. Really excited about that. And it'll give you guys an opportunity to call in if you have questions for Ahura Z about metaphysics. I know a lot of people hear psychics and they think it's all hooey and whatever, but it's actually considered a science. You can actually study metaphysics, and it's very interesting. You can ask questions that you might have, whether it's, you know, to bust a myth or something that you have a question on. He even does mini psychic readings where if you have a question for him, he'll be more than glad to give it to you. So, yeah, it'll be a good time. So remember, it's either in the next 2 weeks we'll be starting that. So remember, 8 to 10 on Tuesdays Eastern Standard Time, we'll be expanding the Diamond in the Rough radio station with Ask the Unicorn. So that'll definitely be a good thing. And I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Is your board up and running okay?
It should be. Why? Oops, it was. Wait, no, come back! No, don't leave me. My board just left me. have to ask the question while we're waiting. You know what? I want to ask this, and, you know, everybody says to me, oh, yeah, you're so positive, whatever. But I also, I have a soapbox, and I'm going to get on my soapbox, so get ready. I want to know.
Yeah, well, while you're doing that, I'm hitting a refresh over here, so.
Oh, you're going to mess up my whole switchboard again. Anyway, while I'm doing this, I want to ask our listeners.
Forget it. I won't do it. You do it.
It doesn't matter. I want to talk to our listeners about what's going on in Wall Street. Take Back Wall Street is a big thing that's going on right now. It's a protest. It's grassroots. People are getting out into the street to protest what's going on. And, you know, it blows my mind how the average American, it's not that the average American is dumb, because they're not. It's the average American, really. I guess we get so caught up in our everyday life and making a living and dealing with issues that we kind of get the blinkers on and kind of forget about the stuff that's going on. And one of the things that I really noticed is the fact that this big protest is going on in Wall Street, and I don't see too many people talking about it or commenting on it, except for the media and stuff. And it's just, it makes sense, because one of the things they're protesting about is the fact that big corporations got bailed out when the economy tanked. And, you know, they got all these loans and all this money and, you know, saved different companies. Yet the average American did not. Record number of people lost their houses. Unemployment is at 10%. And that is grossly misrepresented, because one of the things that, if you know statistics, they'll tell you, oh, well, unemployment is hovering at 9%. You know, we had a 0.5% improvement. Not true.
Wow.
What they're not telling you is that, yeah, unemployment is at 9.5% around
that
there.
That is. Amazing.
Wait, it gets worse. Underemployment is at 17%. So in theory, if you underemployment is people that work less than 20 hours. I don't know about you, but if I'm married and I'm raising a family, I don't think 20 hours a week are going to cut it.
Mhm.
So the reality
is
that you need to add those 17% to the 9.5. Now we're at almost 27% unemployment, because I'm sorry, underemployed doesn't cut it. So people are struggling. They're losing houses. They're losing health insurance. They're losing their cars. They're losing their cell phones. And people are like, oh, it's a big deal. You can't apply for a job if you don't have a telephone number for which for them to call you. You can't send resumes, because a lot of people, that's how they do it now. Every company, like you go to Best Buy or you go to Walmart or you go to, you know, Dollar Tree, they have a computer set up. Yes, but a lot of them say, oh, yeah, go apply online. Well, what if I'm broke and I don't have a computer, or I don't have internet because I can't afford it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how. So the reality is, and then you don't have the access to that, so how are you going to apply for jobs? So it's a spiral that keeps going on. So this is why the big protest is going on. I was just interested to see what some people are thinking about that, because I know that back in the 70s, protests were very big, and we got a lot of things done. I mean, I remember that in the late 70s, early 80s, I stopped buying grapes for a long time because we were protesting about the pesticides that were being used and the abuse of the migrant workers that were being abused. You know, they were getting paid like $2 a day to work 12 hours picking friggin' grapes in the fields. And by the same token, I remember I considered frivolous, because not everybody's an animal lover like I am. We protested tuna fish, because back in the day, the way they fished tuna, a lot of dolphins were being killed unnecessarily.
Yep.
Because they were just trying to cut profits. So I didn't buy tuna for a long time until it said it was dolphin safe and they had changed some of it. So there's a lot of things that we as people can do. I remember during the 80s as well, late 80s, early 90s, we had a day that no one went out and bought gas. And it was funny that enough people did it that the prices did go down. Unfortunately, nowadays, you can't get people are too lazy. I'm the same way. Or we can't do without our cars because of where we work or whatever, or don't want to be bothered or don't have the time or whatever. So you can no longer get, you know, millions of people to not buy gas for a whole day to get the message across that, you know, this is ridiculous. Because the reality is $3.50 a gallon, I'm sorry, that has nothing to do with inflation. That's just greed. Because they figured out after Hurricane Katrina, they inflated the prices, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, these suckers will pay the price. And that's exactly what we've become. They never lowered the price. And there was no reason for the prices to be raised, because the reality is if they were in such dire straits with lacking gasoline that they had to raise the prices, can you explain to me why the gasoline companies had record profits right after Hurricane Katrina?
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
So my point is that, you know, we as Americans need to wake up, because we need to start being accountable for that. And don't give me that, and I love this quote, don't give me that, I'm just one person, there's nothing I can do. I'm the little man, I'm the little woman, I can't do anything. Really? Have you ever tried to sleep in a room with a mosquito flying around?
Mm-hmm, I have.
How much sleep did you get?
I didn't get that much sleep because I had him.
There you go. One person, no matter how small, can make a difference. If they can make a difference, whether it's organizing, getting people, supporting, I don't care what you do, you need to get involved. Because the reality is that it's great to blame the politicians, but we're the suckers that put them in there. And if you don't like what they're doing, change it. If you don't like what your party is doing, change your party. If you don't like what anybody's doing, run for office. Do something.
Yep.
Don't just sit there and complain. The reality is if you're not registered to vote and if you're not doing something, then you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. So that's just the
we're
fact
all
of life.
A part of something.
Absolutely.
In one way or another, we are all part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, infamous angel, you're right. Good things come in small packages, and you can do anything.
Absolutely.
And that's true.
We can all make a difference. All of us.
That one small favor that you do for somebody will count for something down the line.
Speaking of which, I think somebody took offense to what I just said about the mosquito because I just swallowed a bug. Oh, my goodness.
That is horrible.
Seriously, not cool.
I've done it. It's not cool. It's disgusting. And
never mind, Matt. It's the fact of what are the odds that I'm talking about mosquitoes and I just swallowed a gnat. That is so disgusting. Oh, my goodness.
That is very disgusting.
That is... Holy moly. Okay, I won't talk about mosquitoes anymore because they're sending their cousins, the gnats, to attack me.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Infamous Angel, you got to call in and say hi to us because I know
she
I've
does.
Missed
you. She hasn't called
I
in
have
in
missed
forever.
You.
Ever.
Mm. Well,
okay, before she does that.
Well, why don't you call in and ask the question? And then we'll talk about it. How about that? And before she does that, yes.
Yeah, I know. Right. Anyway, so before she does that, oh, my gosh.
Are you okay over there? It seems like
no,
you can't
I'm not.
Talk.
All right, I'm going to play Baby Boy by Sacrifice real quick, and then I'm going to run to get something to drink to wash this sucker out of my throat because it's really disgusting. So for
I'll
your enjoyment,
you mute,
Baby
Boy by Sacrifice. Thank you. I'll be back in a couple seconds. The date was May 14th at 10 past 10. I got my world rocked and introduced to my best friend. At that point, I realized my path to be is to be the best father I could possibly be. Then I held you for the first time. I saw in your face that you knew who I was, that you felt so safe. Make no mistake, because I felt safe too. The way you fit right in my arms, it was like face true. You're meant for great things. I could tell you gon' rise because your eyes so alive, they as blue as the skies. I wouldn't lie, you're the reason I breathe, because you smile so bright, the sunshine that I need. Yes, you're my little man, kissing on your little hand. Listen, you my shining star, proving there's a bigger plan. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, and your mom, we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
Day I choose.
change. The day I claim the best day to clear my reign. I used to be filled with just anger and pride. Now it's just pride for you, no more anger inside. Between you and your mom, I learned the meaning of love, the needing of hugs. Above, I see the meaning of dubs. Oh yes, I'll protect you and guide you from harm. And nothing's better than the feelings when I hold you in my arms. When times are hard and the clouds are gray, I see you smile and realize life will be okay. Before you, it was just me and all that time, but now it's us, so trust, everything's just fine. My little prince, it's the king and I. Sing with pride, spread your little wings and fly. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, your mom, and we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
Best. I feel the love and the warmth, you fall asleep on my chest. Feel the pattern when you breathe, the scent of your hair. As I kiss your little forehead, you know I'm right there. And I'll never leave your side, I'm here forever. Teach you to be a man through the stormy weather. Anything that you need, I'm here for you. Clear and true, in the physical, my spirit too. With my son, it stays fun, a passionate joy. You make me laugh when you splash in the bath with your toys. When your mom tries to feed you, you spit out your food. Look at her and start laughing, little things that you do. When I see you, I see me, we're one and the same. You're my child, my first son, I gave you my name. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, your mom, and we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
And we're back. That was Sacrifice with Baby Boy. What a phenomenal job that was by Sacrifice.
And on that note, I want to share with our readers, I mean, our listeners, readers, yeah, what do I, freaking newspaper here. Hello, this is your local newspaper. Talking to you. Dude, if my newspaper ever talked to me, I'd freak.
Get us going all the time.
Hey, if my newspaper talked to me, I'd freak out.
Hey, but I have a question. Is your refrigerator running?
Actually, it's not.
Oh, man. You shot me down on that one.
No, it was so funny, right? I'm like I said, I'm in Philly, and my son's mother-in-law, I love her. She's so funny. She calls and freaking out. She's like, the refrigerator is not working. I don't know what's going on. And then it turned out that she had unplugged it by mistake. Oh, my gosh, it was so funny.
Wow.
Yeah, but I wanted
for
to share
some
news
that
with you guys.
Would like to call in, you could call in now, 1-877-907-7217, or if you incur a toll charge, or if you doesn't incur a toll charge, you can call us at 347-989-1473 if you have any questions or anything to speak to our guest about as they come in.
That's
and
awesome.
With that,
and like I said, we're gonna have Uhura coming in the second hour. And real quick, before you pick up that call, I just wanted to share with our listeners, we as a family welcomed grandson number 4 to
what?
Our family. Yes, grandson number 4. Our son, Honorable Son number 3, had his first son. September 11th of all days, which is a cool thing because, you know, September 11th is kind of sad for us, especially because, you know, we're a law enforcement family and I have a lot of friends that are law enforcement, firefighters, that kind of thing. So it's always been very sad for me and for us as a family, but at least now there's a little ray of light and his name obviously is Alexander Pierce.
Well, that is
Irahita.
Awesome.
We welcomed him on September 11th. And Mama, Daddy, and Baby are doing great. He's getting big. And he's got a nickname too. It's Ellie. Grandpa gave him that. His grandpa on his mama's side gave him that because it's so cute, little Ellie. Instead of saying, well, we call him Ellie. I thought it was like, yeah, I like that. That's a cool nickname.
That is
so, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you want to go check him out, just go to my Facebook page on Diamond in the Rough, Charlie Alejandro, which is the fan page, and you can see pictures of my little grandbaby right in there. And, yeah, it'll be a cool time. So, anyway, Mothman, as you were.
I will be right back, so you continue. I'm going to go check who this is, and I will be back with you momentarily.
Yes, so to our listeners, I am hoping that I cannot believe how fast this year has gone by. We've got Halloween coming up, which is one of my favorites. It's not a holiday, and I know some people always think it's like, ooh, demonic or whatever, but I like it just because of the costumes. It brings back memories of making costumes for my kids and dressing up and stuff, so it's a cool time. And I guess for me now, having grandbabies, it's fun just to see what their mamas come up with and how they dress them up in this. So I've always liked Halloween. And then, of course, all the family holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. But,
No, you're not getting too far ahead of yourself, are you?
What? Well, see, you know how my grandson, Tony, little Tone-Tone, he's a year and a half. Well, he had his Rudolph. Oh, this is so funny. I've got to share this story. He has a little Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that if you squish its ear, it starts singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it says a little thing from the movie. So he kept saying to me again, because he didn't know how to turn it on. So I said, here, you just whack the ear. So he whacked the ear and it starts singing. And every time that happened, he'd look at me and go again, which meant for me to sing with Rudolph. So I would do that. Well, the third time he got it right, so now he's whacking Rudolph. So he whacks the animal, Rudolph, and then I wasn't singing because I figured, well, he's keeping himself amused. And he turns around and whacks me in the ear and goes, again. I'm like, okay, I can totally understand why you did that, but not cool. I am not a battery-operated JJ. So that was his way of telling me to sing, because if he whacked the Rudolph, that would start singing. So he figured if he whacked me, I'd start singing too.
That is so cute.
It was so funny, and I was laughing because it's like, okay, I don't want to encourage him to go around whacking people, but I couldn't help not laughing because it was hysterical. I figured, and his dad's like, don't hit JJ, and then I explained to him why he did it. He's like, oh, my goodness, that's freaking funny.
Well, yes, on that note,
yes,
I am going to bring our famous on-the-spot Miss Infamous Angel, who does our American Idol blog there when she does. She helps us to keep us informed when American Idol is on. And Miss Infamous Angel, how are you doing, hon?
I am good.
Hey, Angel girl is in the house. It's funny, she asked me, Angel Girl asked me if I had washed out the bug, and I'm like, no. I gargled, but it's too late. I ate the sucker. It's like camping in my belly right now. It's so gross. See, that's what I get for talking about bugs. I guess the moral of the story, well, it kind of reaffirmed my point that a small person can make a difference, because that sucker silenced me big time for a few minutes. Like, and trust me, you can ask my husband, not too many things find me speechless. So for a bug to shush me, that was pretty cool.
So what's going
Angel
on,
girl,
man?
Yeah, what updates do you have for us, girl? What you been watching? What good things should we have our listeners tune into?
I think you guys should check out X Factor. It just started airing. It's like American Idol, except it's with Paula Abdul now, Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls, and who else? Simon Cowell. Or Powell, whatever his last name is.
Oh, he's over there now yelling at people.
No, he's actually more better, more nicer.
Oh, that
really?
I find very hard to believe. He's like the guy you love to hate.
I know.
Don't lie, don't front. I know you guys used to watch American Idol just so you could sit there and go, I can't stand him. But then when he wasn't on the show, you're like, oh, that show sucks now because he's not on it anymore.
Is that show even still on?
Which one?
What, American Idol?
American Idol.
It's done the season, but I think they're going to come out with another one.
Actually, last year they had, who was it, J-Lo, and Steven Tyler was the judge, and what's his name, Randy?
Yeah, Randy.
He was the last holdout, and he was still in there. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
so real quick,
should...
for our listeners, if you're just joining us, this is www. Wait, did I say too many W's?
www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywomanWMN.
What he said. Yes, that's us, Diamond in the Rough. And the call-in number, 347-989-1473. Or if it's a toll call for you, 877-907-7217. I apologize. There must have been a miscommunication with our first guest. As you can tell, he's not here. And we're doing what's called filling up empty space.
And we're
which
filling
Mama
it up
Man
quite
and I are kind of good at. Oh, man, but you guys got to stick around. The second hour, we're going to have the phenomenal Ahura Z. Ahura Z is a psychic, metaphysicist. He actually has a metaphysics school in Maine, Unicorn Cove. Great place to, oh, my God, I just blanked out. It's a great place to go. He has classes. He does all kinds of cool things, Tai Chi, workouts. I mean, he teaches a lot of stuff. And we're going to have him on. And if you guys want to call in, if you have any questions for him, maybe, you know, psychic kind of question, or you want to ask him something about metaphysics. And I want to clarify the point, because I know a lot of people say, oh, metaphysics is like the occult, devil worship. No, that's not what it's about. Metaphysics is the study of the other realm of science on things of the mind, or basically things we kind of fall under the X-File category, if you want to call it, if you remember the show, The X-Files, back in the day. So people talk about, yeah, you know, people talk about extrasensory perception known as ESP, or people talk about faith healing or energy healing, which there's people that go to school for that, where they can be in England and they can have a person in a thought and they can send healing energy and they know how to channel it and can actually heal someone from across the miles. Or we've also heard stories where something's happening to our child and all of a sudden we get this horrible feeling and we know something's wrong and we call and sure enough something's going on with our kid. Or we have that thing that all of a sudden we have to call someone. And so those are some of the things that fall under the realm of metaphysics. And I'm just simplifying it. There's a lot more to it as well. So, yeah, he'll be calling in. And that's a precursor to the fact that he's going to be having his own show on our Diamond in the Rough family called Ask the Unicorn.
And I know we're going to wait and play a very particular song for Mr. Ahura Z. And I think you know what that song is, Miss Charlie.
Yes, I do. So, Angel Girl, tell us about this X Factor. Why should we watch it?
You see a lot of unseen talent and, like, a lot of contestants that are like the like what you see on American Idol, and they come and they wanna have a recording contract, and the grand prize is like $5,000 or something like that. And
that's pretty cool.
And there's a lot of, like, I think there's a couple of young kids on there, like age 14, and they're actually like pretty good. And you see them, the how they had to like fight twice as hard to be with the others that are a little older and that have more experience singing. So it's pretty cool to see. It's on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8.
So what's the difference between that and American Idol? Is it just singing?
It's actually, X Factor is a little, it's like everything. Like, you perform, you have to, like, I saw, like, the episode yesterday where they had to learn how to show off their dance moves a little bit, you know. And,
oh, so it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything, not just singing, so.
Wow.
It's funny. It's funny because I know, like, for example, American Idol, one of the things about it is they're looking for a singer. that, you know, and they're talking about the kind of singer that they could plop them in an arena and sell out. I remember a couple of years ago, I actually caught some of America's Got Talent, or So You've Got Talent, something like that. And one of the acts that really stuck out was a group of these African-American youth that, it was phenomenal. They played the violin mixed with hip-hop, tap dancing, and something, and hip-hop dance, like house. And I'll tell you, every time I watched them, they came up with some of the most amazing concepts. Like, I really think they just introduced a whole new generation to the fact that, wow, violins can be cool, and to classical music that was redone. I mean, they would play actual classical music pieces in between the hip-hop and everything else, and they didn't wind up winning. I know they made it to the top three, but luckily they got a contract too, but they were phenomenal. And that's why I liked it, because it was different. And that's one of the things I'm always looking for, stuff that's different. I mean, I like singing. I understand that. American Idol is great. But after a while, it's like you just get this group of singers that are just trying to hit the rafters. And, you know, I like to see different things. You know, it's nice to see something besides singers, because there's a lot of talent that's different out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, it's great that that's on in X Factor. When is it again?
Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8, and you can catch the episode on right now. It's coming up in like 3 minutes.
Yeah, but don't shut us off. Don't shut us off. You can watch, but you got to have us in the background.
Exactly. I was gonna say,
multitask.
You better be with us when Ahura comes on there, Missy.
Oh, man, you do not want to miss this. Ahura is one of our most popular persons, and the last two times we had him, our switchboard went off the charts. We couldn't get to everybody. We had calls from all over the country, so if you're going to call in to ask him a question, you better stick around and get in on cue. On that note, I also want to encourage our listeners to please go to Facebook and go to The Unbeliever, just like it sounds, The Unbeliever fan page. That is the movie that Chris and I, my son Chris, and I are working on. And I really encourage you to become a fan, spread the word. It's a really cool movie. It's a short film that we're working on. And it's a great concept, not to give too much of it away, but it's a movie that is going to leave you thinking. It's going to leave you with a good feeling. And it's family friendly. It's something that, you know, you don't have to be covering your kids' eyes when you watch, kind of thing. So I really encourage you to go to The Unbeliever page and fan them, leave positive comments, and share it with your friends. You know, it's like I said, the movie will be coming out. We're almost done. We're going to be shooting the final scenes in the next few weeks, and we're hoping to have the editing and everything done, so it'll be out either later this year or at the beginning of next year. For the first viewing. Actually, if you go to The Unbeliever, scroll down to the bottom, there's an itty-bitty teaser trailer that was done, and you can check it out a little bit. The phenomenal Eric Eastman is in the lead role, and introducing his first lead role, Christopher Iraheta, is actually playing the second lead as Evan. So, yeah, pretty exciting stuff, and I've gotten the opportunity to meet some really amazing people, so make sure you check that out as well, and encourage your friends to sign up and become a fan. Another announcement, also, as you all know, this past August, I competed in a beauty pageant, and after having won the state title, I won the national title. I am Mrs. Woman Petite America 2011. The reason I'm announcing that is because one of the things I do is I do a lot of public appearances for nonprofits and youth groups, motivational speeches. So if you guys have a group event or a nonprofit, a fundraiser, or any of that that you would like me to help out with or appear at, please feel free to contact me, ordinarywoman@gmail.com, or hit me up on Facebook with the information. And if it's on a day that I'm available, I would be more than glad to help out and show up. I also do motivational speeches to schools and stuff. So if that's something that you guys would like me to do, I'd love to do it, obviously free of charge. It's something that I like to do. It's part of my platform. And I just like to get out there and show people that, yeah, we can do a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be just, you know, me knocking doors down and wearing a crown. There's a lot to it. And if my having that crown will help you get funding for a project or get people to donate money to your nonprofit, use me. I love it. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, definitely check that out. You can also check me out on my fan page as well, get more information. Leave me a message there as well. I think we need to play a song. I want to hear a song.
You want to hear a song?
I do. I really do want to hear a song. I think it's time for music. Because you don't want to hear me singing.
infamous. Do we really want to hear her sing?
No. No. Listen, I'm trying to get more listeners. I'm not trying to
okay.
get people to run away. So, no, you do not want to hear
me sing.
All right,
Miss Infamous. Okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
Since we've got Miss Infamous Angel on our board right now.
Yes.
I'm going to ask her. What would you like us to play?
Well,
you've heard a lot of our songs.
It depends what you guys have.
I don't know. We have a few songs up in here. Actually, yeah, you know what? I know a song, and Angel Girl can think about it, but I want to play this song because I have a certain somebody on my mind. As some of you know, I have been coming to Philly because a friend of my relative has been ill. And my son, Eric, wrote this for his wife for their anniversary or for her birthday, one of those two. And I don't think I've actually played it on the radio yet. So I'd like to play that. I forgot that I had uploaded it, and I want to share it with you. So I want to play this for your enjoyment. This is called Sarah's Song, and it was by Sacrifice.
Can't know me without you. My dream girl, my queen, my own boo. You my own heaven, my beauty,
my view, my own moon. I know you're reaching zone simply when I speak in tone. Feel the love with every step while I'm reaching home. What's a perfect day with you and seeking tone? What's a perfect night? You and me alone. You are my everything, that's what I think of you. Now let me see your body, kiss every inch of you. Words could not express my love, baby, you the perfect song. I got a perfect wife, my kid's a perfect mom. Real talk, we gon' live forever. Get old, get gray, and raise these kids together. You my warmth, you my fire, you my spark, my heat. I'm not the same, you my heart that beats.
Happy Valentine's Day, baby. I love you. I love you.
And that was Sarah's song by Sacrifice. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, Mountain Man, where'd you go?
Mountain Man's here. Mountain Man's here.
I was just checking. I thought you ran out on me.
No, because I went and checked and see who else came into our building.
Oh, real quick. Guys, if you happen to be in the Somerville, Massachusetts area, Saturday night at 8:30, the movie Conned, C-O-N-N-E-D, go to Facebook and look up Conned the Movie, is going to be showing its premiere in Boston. It's in a film festival. And go check it out. It's a great concept. It's a great movie. A little violent. Not for the kids. Definitely, it's date night for you grown-ups. Go check it out. And I have a tiny itty-bitty speaking part in it. I don't know if I made the cut because I haven't been able to see it. It seems like every time I'm somewhere else, they show it somewhere else where I am not. So if you get the chance to go check it, I know, right? If you get the chance to go check it out, please do so. So if you go to Facebook and you Google Conned the Movie, you will see the link of where they're going to be showing it. And go check it out and let me know if I came out. And what do you think? I need honest critiques if I did make the cut. I have to remind you, that was my very first speaking part. Tiny little part. I play the bank manager that's getting robbed, but pretty cool.
And I have yet to see any of these movies that our famous Miss Charlie Alejandro is in. And real quick,
I know.
On that note, real quick, because I know we missed this piece, but I want to say hello to everyone that's in our chat room.
Oh my gosh, that's right, we forgot.
We forgot all about that, so I want to say hello
to
Bob.
Sorry, guys.
Brianna, guess 5974, guess 6119, Joe S, Mary B, Robert 0184, Rose 8183, Starbright Volume 54, and our infamous Angel 978. And
what is so funny? Are you sitting on a feather tonight?
I am sitting on a very interesting piece. A very interesting chair, which has gotten my backside hurting, but that's beside the point. But anyway, before
TMI,
we bring
my brother, TMI.
I know. A little too much info. But anyhow, before we bring our famous and wonderful guest on, I would like to play Get Up Off Your Seat by Ahura Z, if that's all right with you, Miss Chow.
Oh, yeah, baby, that's my jam. Let's go. That's my houseworking song.
Well, bend to the east, now bend to the west. Like if it was, you love the best. Cut your hair, hey girl, bring it back and let it out. Take your phone, be kind, don't give up, you're doing fine. Take your head off your feet, get up off your feet. You wanna join them too, let your body move. Cut your hair, hey girl, bring it back and let it out.
That was Get Up Off Your Seat by Horsey.
Sorry, I was jumping around in the studio and I missed the cue. Hey, it said to get up off my seat and I did. I'm very obedient, okay? Ahura, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal. How are you?
I'm just fine.
You're just fine?
I'm just fine. I figured you
would.
It is
awesome to have you back.
Thank you.
Yes, and real quick to our listeners, before we get going with Mr. Ahura Z, just to remind you, every time Mr. Ahura Z has been on, or Z as we'd like to affectionately call him, the lines have gotten packed and we haven't been able to get to all our callers. So if you are going to call in and you have a question for Ahura, the call-in number is, Mountain Man, tell him.
Our regular call-in number is 347-989-1473. Or if you incur a toll charge, you can call us at, our toll-free number is 877-907-7217. And while you do that, I will go and check on somebody and see if she's got any questions for our host or our guest this evening and all of that good stuff.
Also, as well, if you're shy about calling in, you can always hit him up in the chat room. If you have a question for him, you can type it in there and I will make sure he gets it and answers to you. So getting back to Ahura, I have a question.
Certainly.
Yes. I was listening to a show the other day on some radio station, I can't even remember, and they were talking about, this is weird, I can't even remember correctly how they phrased it. They were talking about something called psychic underground darkness.
Hmm. Interesting.
And it was kind of interesting, but one of the speakers was interesting. The other one kind of totally lost me because then he started talking about some time rip or something, and I kind of like got lost in what they were talking about. Especially because I caught it halfway. But one of the things he was talking about referring to the psychic underground darkness was the fact that it has something to do. He says it's very prevalent and it's growing even more. He kind of referred to it as a black hole. And he says it's the cause and effect of some of the negative things that are going on in our world.
Okay.
Can you explain a little bit about that? Or is that a concept or is that something that, is just far out there?
I think I understand what he's talking about, and I view it a little differently. I don't call it psychic underground darkness. I just call it darkness. And this particular thing is not necessarily evil. It's just dark. Okay, now there's a difference. Whenever we hear the word darkness, automatically we go towards evil. However, you have to remember the multitude of dimensional lifestyles there are in our world and in our universe. Now, a lot of people have been talking about shadow people, okay? And you hear people say, I saw the shadow person. It just looked like a shadow. Well, in another dimension, to that dimension, we probably look the exact same. Do you understand? Because our sun is a different mode of light than perhaps theirs is. Now, this person might be right in the way that there's so much negativity that is causing rifts. But you have to remember there's also positivity that would cause other types of openings. Now, I prefer to think of these as more as vortexes, okay? Or just like, openings or doorways or, you know, for those that like the more gothic types of words, the gates, you know. So when you get these things happening, what happens is there's people that go back and forth. Now, you may see a shadow person. That doesn't necessarily make that shadow person evil. It just means that because of our third dimensional reality, they look like a shadow. So there's dark. Now, there is evil. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, discounting what this person is seeing. What I'm saying is that you got to understand there's different types of darkness. Now, if he's talking about an evil thing, I can validate that as well by saying that there has been so much negativity. And sometimes it's just mass negativity that happens in one place. Think about the events that have happened since just 2001. Okay, we have to go there. Then the events that took place with Sumatra, Katrina in Japan, and recently earthquakes and other things that have caused people to just panic. Well, what that does in our reality is it causes rifts. You can say in the very fabric of the air, if you'd like, or in the fabric of the universe, if you want to go that way. But it lets things good and evil through. Now, this negativity is expanding. This is true. But so is the positivity. Now, it's up to us to make a choice. If you make a choice to follow the way of darkness, that's what you get. If you make a choice to follow the way of light, that's what you get. Now, there are those of us that are equipped to battle darkness and help people make a healthy choice, or at least help them to use their free will to make the choice that's right for them.
But
this, what they call underground darkness, it's not so underground. Think about the things that are happening in our world right now. If that's not darkness, I don't know what is. You know, you've got fussing, you've got fighting.
Now, I have a question, because I know that in our society, more so in the United States, because I know in other so-called third world countries or underdeveloped countries or whatever, what you're talking about is a way of life. I mean, I know that growing up, I had an aunt that had the gift, so it was something that it was common for me to have her help people or to be able to give them counsel or that kind of thing. So here in the United States, it seems that every time someone mentions a psychic or a medium or metaphysics, people are like, you know, you get the rolling eyes and the sarcasm or cynism. And my whole thing, my question is to you, how exactly is metaphysics, how does it fall into the realm of the sciences or in the realms of something that you can teach and that people can learn and do something with? Isn't that something that you have to be born with?
Not necessarily. I mean, remember, I'm a teacher, and I run a school of metaphysics. And doing that, of course, I have to contend with the eye rollers. But then some of the eye rollers come and see me because they're faced with something that they don't understand. Now, remember, science is only equipped to name or label what already exists or do something with what already exists. They don't create anything. I mean, they're not equipped to create anything. You're talking about something that's far beyond science, such as art, mysticism, or even magic, if you will. Now, we've created all of these categories, and unfortunately, there are people that are out there that give psychics, metaphysicians, mystics, bad names. And these are usually people that are looking to simply capitalize. And these are usually people that are looking to control someone or control something. However, when you're dealing with a psychic or a telepath that is looking to help, then that person is usually very grounded. Okay? We don't wave our hands about in the air. We don't tell people visions of doom and gloom. I'll tell them, well, you know, for $500, I will burn a candle on my altar and that dark and negative cloud that has been following you that you will never see in your life will go away.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm
laughing because of the way you said it, and it's funny because I remember growing up, my mom's like, I'm going to burn a candle. I'm like, no, you're going to burn the house down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, so...
I mean, if you're talking about...
How do you, as a metaphysics teacher, how do you think that you would be able to get this from the realm where you get the eye rollers to where people start seeing the validity of it? What are some of the things in everyday life that correspond to it that would make you realize that it's not as far out there as you think?
Well, think about it just for a second. One of the biggest forums of metaphysics is religion. Okay?
Uh-huh.
and conventional religion, however you choose to call it. It doesn't matter. One of the biggest figures in religion is Jesus, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If that was not a metaphysician or a mystic, I don't know what is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're talking about someone that purportedly changed water into wine, changed stones into bread, walked on water, healed the sick instantaneously, cured blindness, did all matter of superhuman feat, and then, when he was being crucified, stopped the all-powerful hand of God from destroying us by simply saying, no, don't do it. They have no idea what they're doing. Okay? And because of those events, and I know that there are billions of Christians that can validate everything that I just said, if you don't call that a method of metaphysics, I don't know what else is. Remember, there are billions of people that get down on their knees every single night and look to a God that is going to help them, that's going to help them find their way, a God that they cannot see, but a God that they know exists. Now, science, on the other hand, would have you believe that there is no God, that somewhere someone lit a fuse, and there was this big explosion, and all of a sudden, life existed.
Uh-huh.
Okay. On the other hand, those that are called creationists, because we have to go that direction too, would have you believe that the earth only existed a certain amount of years ago, and then women came from men's ribs. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, both of them call for just a modicum of common sense. One, if men were the first ones that were created, and according to vestigial science, when we no longer need something, it disappears, right?
Uh-huh.
So if men were the first one, then tell me something. Why do I have nipples?
Uh-huh.
And I'm a guy. I don't need them. And why is it that women are the ones that have babies and not men?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Now, you have to make some common sense here. Now, the other portion is this. If there was a Big Bang, then something had to cause it. And if something had to cause it, that meant that someone put something in place in order for those events to coordinate themselves.
Right. Right.
By the same token, there is a divine machination that caused every single thing. Now remember, creationism is taking something that is intangible and creating it in a tangible world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Science teaches us to understand these things so that we know what to call them. Do you understand?
Yep.
In other words,
yeah.
Water is wet. Okay?
Sorry. No, I know exactly what you're saying. They're basically explaining to us what's already here. It's not like they're discovering anything new.
Now, I'm not saying that there's absolutely no use for science. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because without science, people would not know how to read, okay? And at the same time, people wouldn't know what things are actually called. Well, they would, but you need to be able to progress.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Now, what you're talking about is how to take metaphysics and ground it. But metaphysics is already grounded. Do you understand? Remember, metaphysics says physics, which is a scientific term, okay, and meta, which is also a scientific term, which means greater than, yet all-inclusive. Do you understand?
Yes.
So if you take them both, you get not just in the box, but the box itself, and outside of the box, so metaphysics. So when I explain things to people and they say, look, I saw something, I saw a ghost, I saw a spirit, I don't know why I saw it because I've never seen anything like that before, but I did see it. Then I get the opportunity to explain to them that we all have hidden intuition that comes out at certain points in times, kind of like moving out of the way of a speeding car that you don't know is there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If we can continuously have that, then we're called psychic or we're called telepathic. But the truth is that we're always psychic, we're always telepathic, we always have the opportunity to develop ourselves. If you want to say, well, science says there has to be proof, but science wouldn't believe you if you did prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Now, that's very true, but my whole thing is that, like you just said, millions of people every night get on their knees and pray to an unseen God. They haven't seen him. They don't have proof except for the faith inside of them and, you know, what we've read and what we've taught and our feelings.
But they do have proof. This is what I'm trying to tell you. They have
proof. No, I know. I know what that's with the believers. No. Like, I myself am a Christian. I believe in that. That's very true. But why do you think that someone that has that belief, has that proof, has had miracles happen in their life, would have such a hard time believing someone that can do energy healing or someone that can glimpse into the future or someone that can have a premonition to prevent something from happening or a premonition, you know, of a decision that, you know, would be good or bad or indifferent to this person?
Well, because they're not the ones having the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, what happens is Cain and Abel syndrome. You know,
mm-hmm.
Cain got very jealous of his brother Abel because Abel had found fortune with God. Okay? You know, what happens is you hear something such as, judge not, lest ye be judged. That's the only
mm-hmm.
person that should be judging anybody is God himself.
Yep.
And if you look at most things, most Christians, or I'll call them Christians, are the most judgmental people ever. And why? Because we're doing the very works, people that are like myself, are doing the very works that we were told to do. And that is, heal the sick, feed the hungry, help those that don't understand, and help them to get rid of their fear. Remember, there are millions that are expecting for Jesus to come down on a cloud or whatever, part the heavens, and take everyone with them. Well, I have news for them. If they don't believe in metaphysics, if they don't follow the way and understand the ways of metaphysics and paranormality and mysticism, then when Jesus does come, what they're going to do is run in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
If you think about it.
Yep.
You know, so what happens? Someone does come that is Jesus incarnate, and how many people do you actually going to believe him, would believe him? Remember, the last time that Jesus came, they crucified him, called him a devil, called him a witch, called him the son
okay.
of Satan, called him Satan incarnate. What's going to happen this time? And, you
mm-hmm.
know, people that are like myself have to teach people this.
That's very true. All right, let me stop you for a second. For our listeners, if you have a question or comment for Ahura, the call-in number is 347-989-1473. The toll-free number, 877-907-7217. Mountain Man, we have a caller. Have a question?
Yeah, we're going to bring Infamous Angel on because she has a question to ask you, Ahura.
Certainly.
Infamous, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, you're on with Ahura Z.
Okay. Hello, Ahura.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I've been thinking about this question a lot because I've been going through a lot lately, and I always wanted to know, how do you help somebody if you can't even help yourself out first and you're trying to get yourself together?
Well, you really can't. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Well, that's not entirely true. Let me back up a bit. If you're helping yourself and you know that you're helping yourself, what you can do is get that person to understand that you're both helping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you can partner yourself so that you can help each other or at least help yourself and be the example to that person that doesn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old teaching. It says, give what you need the most. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you need help, and you know you need help, then find a way to be helped so that you can turn and help someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're working on yourself and you know that you're not capable of helping anyone at that particular moment, then do what you need to do in order to be of service. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you... So you obviously have a current situation, so what's going on?
Well, I have somebody who's not... who's been struggling with trying to get back to school, finding a job, and just all these things that, like, a lot of people go through at a young age, you know, mm-hmm. and he's hasn't been in school for a long time, and it just hurts to see how long it's been, you know, and he tells me, oh, like, it's a lot to deal with, and I tell him, you know, you're not alone, I'll help you with what I can by being there for you, and, you know, it's not easy as long as you take one thing at a time, you know, and, like, it's easier said than done. Too, so, and I see it, I see the frustration, and it's hard when you're in that rut, and you've been in that rut for a long time.
Oh, I understand, yeah. But you're going to have to make a decision at some point in time to get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just be satisfied, and you know, you can only help so much, and the thing that you can give them the most is patience.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep pushing.
Yeah.
Because if you don't push, mm-hmm. you'll just be an enabler.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You will enable him to keep complaining yet do nothing.
Yeah.
So you got to push. You can't hold a person's hand forever. You have to tell them. You have to tell this person, look, I understand what you're going through, but you need to understand I have my own things that I'm going through. Now, I'm here for you, but you're going to have to do something. Don't just talk.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's easy. And for anyone that believes it's hard to find a job, it may be hard to find a job that you're not, that you quote-unquote want,
mm-hmm.
but it's not hard to find a job. Now listen, I'm speaking from experience. Do you understand? I mean,
yeah.
I know what it's like to be homeless and hungry. Okay? But I had to make a decision. And that decision had to come from the depths of me that said, I'm not going to go through this anymore. I need to be able to do something. So I did something. I mean, we like to believe that some jobs are menial to us and some jobs are beneath us, but even if you are cleaning out gutters and you are gainfully employed, that will help you get back on your feet so that you can make the decision later to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you've got to do something. It may not be, maybe he's what he's really going through is the job that he wants or what he wants to do is at the moment not available, but it will be, and you got to convince this person that it will be. I understand going to school, but school will always be there. Believe me, we live in a society where education is always readily available in some form.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to find our way to get on our feet and start. So that's what you can do for him.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell him these very things and tell him, look, I'm willing to help in any way I can. However, the only way that I can help is in patience and reassurance. Because truthfully, that's all you really have to offer.
And, like, another thing for me personally is recently I've been dealing with a family member that's been really ill. And Charlie can relate because she has someone in her family that's sick too, and I just been dealing with this lately, and I sometimes pretend everything's okay, but when it really isn't, and it's hard when you can't really do anything for that person except just pray and hope and, like, call in to see how they're doing, and that's about it, you know.
But that's a lot. You understand?
Yeah.
That's a great deal. At least you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that is being supportive.
Yeah.
That is being strong. That is helping that person to at least know that someone's thinking of them.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing that a person in any type of an infirmed condition wants to experience is being alone. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And by you holding your candle there for that person, you're helping them. Remember that. If you're helping in any capacity, you can't belittle yourself because you can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can do what you can do. You've got to see that. Mm-hmm. So be there. Maybe bring some flowers, you know, or bring a card, or even anything. Go in. I used to go and sing for people that were sick. You know, I would go in and just visit them and see how they were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, anything. Remember, we live in this huge world, okay? And it's to this point right now where we have to start looking for each other. And we have to start reaching out to each other so that we understand that we are not alone. A lonely person is very, very sad and very, very hard to heal. But if you convince them that they're not alone, then they themselves will begin to heal their own energy. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, you want to help? Give what you need the most. Go help.
And that's awesome, too, because I know that for me personally, there's been times where I just feel helpless. And because, you know, I'm the type of person that, all right, let's fix it. I'm a fix-it kind of person, and that's how I've gotten through in life. So what you're saying is great advice for people like myself or people in general. We feel helpless, and we don't realize that, like you said, just a visit or being there for them can be huge because, like you said, who wants to feel alone on top of dealing with an illness and everything else. So you're absolutely right in that sense. Thank you so much, Angel Girl, for calling.
No problem.
Z, I have an email here from a Brenda T. She has a question for you. She says, do you see with your ability any changes in the current climate in our country?
I've been watching them, actually, and there has been changes in the climate. However, remember, nature always bounces back. Nature is extremely resilient. There have been some odd, very odd weather patterns and some odd pressure patterns. And that may have to do with chemical components. They may have to do with experimentation. It may have to do with just metaphysical or spiritual energy. However it is, it's been affecting the climate. So, yes, I do see that. However, I know nature, and nature has a habit of letting things go on for so long and then all of a sudden snapping back. So you got to wait for the snap back. The one thing that you can never do is lose your perspective or hope. It's the only thing we really have. I mean, there are three components, and that's faith, hope, and love. Okay? Now, this goes in with your earlier question, Charlie, how do we, that are spiritualists and thus that are telepaths and metaphysicians, put this into a place where people can digest it? It's really simple. What we do is we stand real, okay? When I speak to people of spiritual things, I'm not reading from a book. The only book that I'm reading from is my own heart, my own mind, and whatever vision that I was given by divinity itself. But I have to make sure that people understand what I'm saying, okay?
Uh-huh.
Which is why I did study. I mean, I did become educated, and I continuously am looking for ways to educate myself. Now, when I'm standing next to someone that is very scientific, I can speak with them just as easily as I speak to someone that's a spiritualist. The reason is we've been provided with an educational system, although it can tend to be somewhat uneven, it still gives us the opportunity to meet a certain standard. And that standard is we can count, we can read, we can spell, and we can learn the definition of things that we have to say so that we know what we're saying when we say it. A metaphysician takes that into consideration and uses any method possible in order to translate the energy that is being shown that is called vision into a very palatable formula that a person can digest themselves.
Uh-huh.
You might say that all we are really is mediums. We are a translator, and we make it so that people can understand when someone says to them things like, we're all born of original sin, yet at the same time we're told to be fruitful and multiply so that we send more, okay? I have the task of making that person say, look, you have to remember that these particular standards were written by a bunch of people that wanted to be able to control a society. Therefore, you must take into consideration that these people were fallible. Because I doubt seriously, that God and all of his mightiness and all of his perfection would stop just to write a book to pick on me. Because I was born. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I really have to go in and say, look, this is not the way it is. Listen, a benevolent God would not hurt people. Mm-hmm. A benevolent God would find ways and create ways for that person not to hurt themselves without being fearful of being barbecued.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I have to stand my ground. But not only do I have to stand my ground, I have to stand my ground so much that it makes that other person want to stand their ground.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So when people roll their eyes, you know me, Charlie, I don't care.
Right.
I look at them and I say, look at my face. Does it look like I care? You know, prime example was, you know, there was a group of people when I opened my store years ago, and it's called Unicorn Cove, and I know what the unicorn means. The unicorn is a symbol of Christ to me, okay? And the people came up, and they had these huge crosses on their neck, and they were, you know, telling me how I'm an idolater. And and I said, how am I an idolater? I said, well, you got that unicorn. I said, oh, you mean like that giant cross around your neck? Because personally, if I were Jesus and I came down and I saw a bunch of people wearing crosses, I'd run away. Seriously.
That is so funny. Someone in the chat room was saying that. They're like, you know, talking about the crosses. And I'm like, yeah, how much the symbolism of a cross has changed over the centuries. Because before it wasn't something to be revered. It was something to be feared. And, you know, you knew
exactly.
If it was a cross, it was because you were in trouble for something.
And what I can commend conventional religion on is this. They did take that fearsome thing, that thing that represented murder and darkness and evil, and they did try to transform it into something that meant positivity and peace. Okay?
Right.
So you do have to give them their credit for that. But at the same token, remember, I am a Christian. To be Christian means to be Christ-like. It means to do the works that Christ would do, or what you think that Christ would do, so long as you are spreading positivity, life, and joy, so long as you are helping people to understand that they have absolutely nothing to fear just because they saw a spirit or a ghost, to remember that no matter what, those beings that created this universe are bigger and stronger than anything possible. And if you are a child or a vestige of that person or an avatar of those personages, then you have absolutely nothing to fear.
You know, it's very true, because that's one of the things that it's obviously been going through the centuries, that anything we don't understand, we fear. I know that one of my sons and I had this conversation. He's like, man is really like a parasite. It just destroys anything it doesn't understand. As evident, that's how the conversation started about the rainforest that's being progressively destroyed, which we're destroying ourselves, basically, because we need it to survive. But of all these unknown plants that have medicinal purposes that have yet been, we haven't had a chance to fully understand what they're capable of yet, we're destroying them at an alarming rate. So it's very true that we as men and women kind of just say, okay, well, I don't understand this, I'm going to be afraid of it, instead of saying, you know, let me figure this out, let me understand this a little bit more. I have another email here. Oh, there you go, here. I have Randy from New York City sending an email, and he wants to know, how can we attract more positive energy into our lives?
By abandoning that which is not. Okay? You see, we can do that. We're natural to do that, to attract positive energy. But you know what happens? We start worrying about what we will lose. Like we actually have anything that great. Remember, everything is temporal. Even we are temporal.
Uh-huh.
But we have to abandon those things that we know are not positive. If you're hanging around a bunch of people that have nothing but negativity to say, and negative things are happening in your life, you have to make a choice. You really just have to make a choice. I don't care who that person is. You have to make the choice to say, okay, I'm hanging around these people, and yes, I really like them. And yes, I feel as though, you know, they're my family. But, you know, all I get is negativity in my life. And there's nobody to go to. You know, like, you'll go and you'll be the one that helps every single person. But then when it's your turn to be helped, everyone says, well, you know, I don't really have the time. But then you go around them, and every time you go around them, negativity happens in your life. That means stop it. Don't go around these people anymore. Leave them be. I understand it's hard. It's kind of like smoking. When you want to quit, it's very, very tough.
Uh-huh.
But you do possess the power and the will to do so. I mean, I know people like using the patch and whatever else and the e-cigarettes, and that's great, okay, because engineers have created something that we can use. Okay. However, like myself, I smoked, I quit.
Uh-huh.
Someone said, well, it's very hard. I said, no, it's not. It's just a choice. It's only a
choice.
It is.
Very true in that sense. And in theory, though, when you do, I understand there's these assistants, but what winds up happening is, in my opinion, because I did too, I smoked in my 20s and I quit. Just one day I said, you know, I'm good, I'm done. I don't need this anymore. Is that I feel a sense of empowerment when you're able to say, okay, I have this habit, it's very negative, and I chose to get rid of it, I chose to overcome it, and that sense of empowerment that we feel when we're like, all right, if I can do this, there's a lot of other things that I can do as well.
That's correct. You're absolutely correct.
Right.
If you can do
so
that one thing,
right,
you can do anything.
That's very true. And real quick, Z, before I forget, because Chadwin's moving up, I have Jason Spielman say, because he actually made the same comment you did about the cross. He says, Z's in my head again. And he says, I'm one of the many people who has been changed for the better by Z. He said, if he ever took a job in Westbrook, he'd go broke shopping at your place.
Well, Jason's a cool guy. Jason is also a paranormal investigator. And
oh, yeah.
He's a very good one. He's got common sense. And I like that.
Wow. You know, I hate to be one. I'm very positive on my show, but once in a while I really wonder that there's a shortage of common sense being issued out lately. Some of the stuff see people do or say, you're like, really?
Well, most people don't know what common sense means. This is exactly what common sense means. It means to have a sense of the common good, what's going to be good for everyone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not just yourself, but for everyone. I mean, because if you're being positive and you're doing something that is commonsensical, it shows. And what it does is it spreads.
Okay.
It gives you the ability to influence others. Like if you're somewhere, okay, I've had to deal with a person that they decided to quit smoking marijuana.
Okay.
And I said, good, because no matter what anyone says, it is addicting.
Okay.
But their friends shunned them. Because they quit and said, well, we don't know you anymore. We don't really want to be around you anymore because you don't smoke with us anymore. The person did not stop them from doing it, just didn't want to be around them when they were.
Uh-huh.
Now, they showed some common sense. What happens is common sense will dictate you do other things, such as, great, you quit smoking. Now, stop being around people that are smoking. Don't judge them. They have their own crosses to bear. Stop being around that. And then pretty soon you'll see, well, this is what they always do, so I really don't need that. And it influences you to do something else, like find a whole new group. Okay?
Right.
A group of people that don't smoke. Not a group of people that are going to judge them, but a group of people that just don't, or just be by yourself.
And, you know, it's funny, going off what you just said, when I said earlier that I felt a sense of empowerment that I could change, you know, or actually decide to do something and follow through on it, the other thing that we don't realize is that at times when we do have a negative trait and we get rid of it, that sometimes can be taken as a hint from the universe that there's other things that we could change as well. And one of the things for me is the fact that all of a sudden, if I go outside my comfort zone, and like in your case where you said, you know, if you're a smoker, you don't want to be around smokers, not for any other reason that, you know, you just don't want to slide back, and you make new friends, it's something that we normally wouldn't have done, And then all of a sudden we have another circle of friends that have another interest in us and in things that we would like to do with them. So it's a way for us to continue to grow and to be able to go outside our comfort zone.
This is true. That's called evolution.
Wow.
You know, so it's funny. Okay, I got another email here from Erin from Tallahassee, Florida. She wants to know, if everybody has psychic abilities to some extent, how can we develop them?
You have to find someone that is going to show you the way to develop them. I mean, you can practice looking at cards if you want. You could find the old guy that likes to offer everybody $1 million if they can guess what's in an envelope. Okay, that's one way. Or you can just sit and reach out with your feelings. I'll give you a very good exercise. Sit quietly someplace. If you have to, light a candle, because it does make people feel great. Sit quietly. Think about everything that you've had to go through in that given day, in any given day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to block anything out. Listen to everything. Now make all of the noises that you hear around you and in your head one sound. Then take a deep breath, hold your breath for a moment, and take every single thing that has made you feel unbalanced, place it in the palm of your hand in your mind's eye, and blow it away. Then take another deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Take any of your discomforts, place them in the palm of your hand in your mind's eye, and blow them away. And then take one more deep breath. Hold your breath. Take anything that has told you that you are not a whole being, place it in the palm of your hand in your mind's eye, blow it away, and just listen. Watch your senses spread out. And then ask yourself a question that may have been on your mind. Make a decision and follow what it is that you feel. Now, if you have a friend around you or someone that is of like mind, then have that person write something down after you've done this exercise. Something simple, something like one word or a color or a shape or a number, and see if you can figure that out. See if you can see what it is that they've written. There's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just simple intuitive exercises.
That's awesome. Because sometimes we think it's so complex or it's something that, well, I personally, you know, my background, I personally thought that, okay, people are born with it and they're like, you know, just, like they show it on TV. Oh, the body is buried, you know, 30 feet from that tree on Route 38, like, I mean, specific to the point. And I see everything. I see what happens. And we think that if it's fuzzy or we're not quite sure about it or we don't understand what's going on, that it's not psychic ability. It's just something that people are born with, or you either have it or you don't, kind of thing.
Well,
so
you know,
it's kind of cool.
The thing is people take for granted what it is that they have. You know, you just, so what? You don't see it crystal clear. You're talking about an intangibility. Okay, seriously. But everything that there has ever been was in someone's mind at some point in time. You know that beautiful guitar that you have sitting up on your shelf? Someone's thoughts created that first. In their mind, they saw it, and it may have been fuzzy. But then they brought it through in the tangible form. Then it became clear. It's the same with art. You know, I am a very good artist. And in being a very good artist, I can see anything and bring it into form in my mind. Okay? There are people that say they don't possess that ability. But if you just take the time and be patient with yourself, if you see a picture in your mind and you show some patience, you will be able to bring that picture through. That's called being intuitive and psychic. Do you understand? Okay, those are simple exercises, and if you keep doing it, it will develop. It's kind of like the waitress that you go to all the time, that you'll see her just buzz around. It doesn't look like she's moving particularly fast, but she knows what everybody wants. Well, in serving people over a period of time, you develop an intuition. And doing a certain exercise, you develop an intuition. You come in to your office, and you know exactly what needs to be done. Or that really cool mechanic that you've been working on your car for 5 years, and this person comes in and taps the side of your car, and all of a sudden, it works. That's called having an ability. And you look at them and you say, well, how did you know to do that? He says, well, I just listened. Your car told me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been around me. You've seen how I'll just walk into a place and know what's going on.
That's very true. It's very true. And we're almost out of time, and I have two comments to make. One of them is Jason Steelman says that when his son Alexander heard your voice, he started yelling at the card on the wall, yelling, him, I think he wants you to go back. He says, I want to think
yeah.
Alexander wants me to come back because he keeps pointing at the card on the wall at the door, yelling, him. And
yeah, tell him I'll come back.
I know. So, and Infamous Angel, real quickly, if you could I hate to rush you, but she wanted to know what made you get into metaphysics.
It wasn't what made me get into metaphysics. It's metaphysics were already in me, okay? And all I did what the universe directed me to do. There's a place for me. In other words, my place in life is to teach people about that which is beyond and help them to understand it now and bring it into
uh-huh.
Okay, so it's not so much me getting into metaphysics. Metaphysics chose me, and I just follow directions.
That's awesome. So, Z, I've already announced this, so I can, you know, share with you. For our listeners, if you want to get more information on Z, you can find him at www.unicorn-cove.com. To get more information on his school and his services, as well as the fact that Mr. Ahura Z will be having his own segment under our Diamond in the Rough Ordinary Woman family. It'll be called Ask the Unicorn. It's going to be on Tuesday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, starting in about 2 weeks, once we get all the kinks and everything out. But, yeah, in about 2 weeks, we're going to get going. So make sure you let everybody know. Ahura will be on every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have any questions or comments or any information or topics that you like have it covered, definitely email us, ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com, so we can put that on the lineup. So, Ahura, thank you so much for being on the show, and I am so excited about the fact that we finally nailed that time segment for you for a weekly show. I think it's going to be very interesting, and as always, you're one of our most popular guests, I must say.
That's awesome. I appreciate the opportunity, Charlie. You know that. And
yes.
Anything I can do to help people, you know I'm there.
Yes, and I can tell from the chat room that there's a lot of people very excited about the fact that you're having your own show, and they're actually saying they're going to start posting it tomorrow and letting everybody know that you're going to have your own show. So I think you're going to have your hands full there. You're going to have your work cut out for you, which is very exciting.
Yeah, well, I'm used to it. And, it'll be a great opportunity for your show and for me, and I'm looking forward to it.
Very excited. Any greetings or shout-outs you'd like to tell people before you sign off?
Yeah, I told a bunch of kids that I would give them a shout-out, so I'm going to Kinsey, Chris, Bella, Adriana. There's my shout-out. Wait, I have to say it the way I told them. I say, yeah, I want to give you all a shout-out. What's up, you know? What's happening? This is me. That's right. Yeah. I can't even talk.
Awesome. You are too funny.
Awesome.
I got 90 seconds.
I'd like to do one more thing. I'd like to tell everyone to send positive energy to Charlie's daughter-in-law, and that's what we're doing. You know, just make sure you say something on her behalf, okay? And
absolutely.
Hopefully we can beat what the doctors say.
Absolutely. Z, thank you so much for being with us. To all our listeners, everybody in the chat room, thanks so much. And remember, like I say, do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away, and nothing is impossible
right.
to the willing heart. And on that note, I just have the feeling to send this out to my baby girl, Sarah, The Fighter by CPR. Good night, everybody, and looking forward to you joining us next time.
Okay. Anxiety.
anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain honor, bomb my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving,
keep training, headstrong, be patient.
Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
Legend, so pound the mist. Cause you know I ain't about to quit. I got my back against the ropes, I'm a warrior.